No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, at Coors Field, talking about the All-Star Game, some updates with the roster, some general news and notes on this team, a lot more, but one of the bigger pieces of news, I think, that came out of the Astros series on Thursday was that Ezekiel Tovar is on the comeback trail. He was running at the ballpark on Thursday. You can see that video over on a lot of my social medias. Eventually, that video will go up over on YouTube. You can see what it looked like, him running down to first base, working on his sprinting just a little bit, trying to get through the left oblique strain issues. He's going to go out on assignment to Albuquerque and by the time a lot of you get this, he's already played a game Friday night. He missed 27 games since June 3rd with that left oblique strain. He'll miss even more as he is out on the rehab assignment. But the Rockies, 10-17, believe it or not, without him. So he's been gone, and the Rockies have played a lot better. When he comes back, they should play even better than that, no? The lineup should get extended a lot more, and depending on who is still on this roster, as we get closer to the trade deadline, you know, there might still be room for a Ryan Ritter. Did hear a couple things that I won't spill the beans on entirely, as some folks are working diligently to break some news and to write some articles, but I would just say I would not expect the Rockies to make any moves within the next week or so. Look, if the right offer comes along, great. But I don't know that that's going to happen. The Rockies may end up waiting just a little bit. More on that in the coming days ahead. But Ezekiel Tovar is going to make the Rockies that much better going forward. And that's obviously a positive thing for this team. And it could be good for Ryan Ritter, because if he does end up going back to AAA when that time comes, when Tovar is fully ready to come back from the left oblique strain, then Ritter can go utilize what he's learned in the big leagues, make those various tweaks he needs to make down in AAA before coming back and making an impact either at second base or over at third base. Or maybe he becomes somewhat of a super utility guy. If you've got Kyle Karros at third base, Tovar at shortstop, somebody else at second base, maybe Ritter can become a guy. He's got a little power in his bat. He's a bigger kid. So I could see something like that in his future. He had the rehab start for Ryan Feltner. He very well could come off the IL and make the start on Wednesday in Boston. If so, I'll be looking forward to covering that, as I will be in Boston by the time you're listening to this. In fact, I will probably already be in Boston. So you won't see me at the ballpark at all for the 4th of July weekend as I gear up for this Red Sox series. The return to Fenway, rematch of the 2007 World Series. Really, really excited for the content I've got planned for that. Zach Agnos back with the team. He pitched in four games for the Isotopes, four innings, allowed one run, only one hit, four strikeouts. Schaefer said that his role in the bullpen is sort of just up in the air right now. They'll use him where they'll need to use him. But for right now, there is a list. There is a wait list, so to speak. There is a priority list for the Rockies right now in terms of their bullpen. And Agnos is going to have to work his way up to it. It might not take him very long, but we've seen some great performances by a lot of Rockies relievers. Some up, some down. You know, Jake Bird was a little iffy on Wednesday night. We've seen Tyler Kinley give up a home run here or there. But nevertheless, Zach Agnos back. Good to see him. That was fun to see. Schaefer also mentioned how much he thinks platooning can be of benefit to this roster right now. And I think it absolutely can. It absolutely can. Now, platooning has been around for a very long time. I think Casey Stengel might have been one of the first managers in the 50s with the New York Yankees to say, hey, there's a right-handed pitcher on the mound, and this right-handed hitter doesn't do well against another righty, against the same-sided pitcher. So let's start the left-handed bat in the lineup against the righty. And then when there's a lefty on the mound, let's go the opposite and start the righty. And unless you are, you know, are truly an everyday player, you're not going to be playing every day. You're going to get that day because it's going to increase the odds of your team winning that ball game with a guy that has better odds just simply because of the batter's box that he stands in. It's one of the reasons why Yankeel Fernandez only started one game. We only saw him once in that Astros series because as a left-handed hitter, there was a lefty starting on Tuesday and a lefty on Thursday. So that only allowed him to get in the game on Wednesday. You know, a extra inning game where you might need a bat or something like that. Sure, he can come off the bench, but he's not going to be your first left-handed hitting option off the bench as a 22-year-old rookie. He's got to play, and he will play as there are righties in this White Sox series. So you're going to see more playing time when the matchup is a little bit more favorable. I think you're also seeing a lot of strategic off days for some guys against same-handed pitchers or same-sided pitchers. Doyle got the day off on Wednesday against Brown, and then you saw him come back on Thursday playing really well at the plate. McMahon has rested a lot more against lefties, and then that allows you to have a really good bat coming off the bench against a right-handed reliever when that opportunity comes. So it's important to note that platooning is not the same as removing a player late in the game, because while you know Goodman, he's not really a part of this. I shouldn't have brought him up because Goodman is starting based on the time of the game and the pitcher that's there, because you're not going to start him. Even if there's a lefty on the mound, you're not going to start him in a night game followed immediately by a day game because his job as a catcher is just too hard. But Doyle and McMahon, the two guys that have been getting those off days, if it's late in the game and you got Josh Hader in there and Ryan McMahon's coming up to the plate, you're not lifting lefty Ryan McMahon for the right-handed hitting Kyle Farmer. You're not. McMahon has earned that right to go in there, and we've seen him perform well against lefty pitchers. Same thing with Brent Doyle. He's earned that spot. You're not going to lift him, but there are a lot of other guys on this roster right now that you would lift for a more favorable matchup. So one of those things to keep in mind. It's one of the reasons why the Rockies have gotten a little bit more out of this roster, because it's not just this guy is in all the time. Let's really break things down on not a microscopic level, but break things down on an inning by inning level or first half of the game, second half of the game. And that kind of strategy, again, has allowed the Rockies to stay in these games a lot longer and allowed them to make some moves late in the ball game that has helped them out. Perry in the chat, does Toley have a chance of holding off Condon in the next couple of years at first base? No, I don't think he does. No, and if Tolia can start to show that he can be a lot more like the player from 2024, then sure, right? He can play the outfield. You know, the defense in right field might not be as strong as what it is over at first base, but Charlie Condon, he's going to get preferential treatment. Tolia got preferential treatment as a first-round guy, 21st overall pick at UCLA. And that's what's going to happen with those high round draft picks. They get that preferential treatment. That's why Tolia is still here and El Hierro Montero is not, despite stretches in which both of them performed equally as well. Go back and look at September and October of 2023. Elijeris Montero was very good at first base for the Rockies, and he is now playing in the country. He's playing in Japan. He's in the MPB, playing for the Hiroshima Toyo Carp. But Charlie Condon, if he can continue to rake, he's now at Double A. If he continues to get the growth and progress as well as the Rockies would like, especially in the early going, because he is a guy that could end up having a long career at third base, but his path to the majors is going to be one in which he gets to the majors as a first baseman, because his glove at third base isn't there yet. It's just like with Hunter Goodman. His bat progressed faster than his glove did. So Condon at first base might work out a little bit better than the corner outfield spot, but maybe not. And maybe that's a mix and match where if you love Freeman in right field, and he's been playing very, very well, 12 stolen base on Thursday. He's been playing fabulously. But if you love Freeman in right, Beck in left, Toley at first base, and you got to find room for Condon, well, you can work Condon into the mix where you've got four guys for three spots and you can give players a day. And then you can even move Jordan Beck over to center field if you want Condon in left field and totally at first base. Bottom line is Charlie Condon has a lot of work that he needs to do to get there. But when he does do that and he does accomplish that and he is ready, he is going to get preferential treatment. No doubt about it. Felix saying Freeman becoming a solid piece. That's been great. In fact, on Thursday before the game, Schaefer was asked sort of a hypothetical question about, you know, guys making contact and guys hitting the ball far and hitting home runs. There's a certain premium placed on players with high slugging percentages, because with one swing, you can get three runs just like that. On the flip side, with three swings or one swing of a ball that's not even anywhere close to the zone, you got an out and nobody advanced to base. You've almost wasted a plate appearance. So it is the best and worst of both worlds. Waiting for the home run and getting the strikeout. Is it worth it? According to Warren Schaefer, he would prefer to have nine players that are like Tyler Freeman, that are high contact players, putting the ball in play, doing the little things, bunting, advancing the runner. We've seen Tyler Freeman do that a ton, and there's been a lot more buy-in from players doing that all throughout the lineup. You saw Ryan Ritter do that multiple times. So that's been really positive. You take Freeman versus a guy we just talked about, Michael Tolia. The OPS is great. The OPS looks strong. But if you're waiting around for that double, that home run, you're going to leave a lot of guys stranded on base. And so the game is really starting to shift right now before our eyes. I'm not going to say they're entirely going away from that OPS model or that slugging model and the launch angle, but we are definitely appreciating the game, and executives, the front offices around the game are definitely appreciating high contact players. We've seen the Padres gave up a lot. Luis Arias, Jacob Wilson. America has spoken. They prefer Jacob Wilson of the A's over Bobby Witt Jr. Like there's nothing more that you could possibly say to prove otherwise, that we're accepting high contact guys and that value. And Tyler Freeman is a part of that. And so he has been, he has just been a joy to watch and see him continue to have success. And if one 10 game hit streak ends, he immediately gets on to another one. Wild dancing, does Sam Hilliard get another chance if he clears? Absolutely. I think so. I think there is a good understanding between the Rockies and Sam Hilliard that he's sort of he's on the 41-man roster, that when you need an outfielder, when you need a veteran guy to come in and contribute, he is going to be that guy. And so I think that's a relationship that is beneficial for a lot of guys. Also in the chat, I say so long to launch angle. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you on that one for sure. Speaking of the All-Star game, we got James Wood. He's going to be in the Home Run Derby. He's the third one to announce that. I've been saying that for about a month, that this is a guy that I wanted to see in the Derby. I knew he was going to be there for the All-Star game. He's not there yet. He's not a starter, but he's going to be. I think we know that. I think he might be a sneaky favorite to win this. Lefty bat, 6'7", 22 years old. You know, I think there's a chance. It's nice that he was able to get an invitation He's got 22 home runs at the time of recording. That's fifth in the National League, first among NL outfielders. So this is a big bat. That's exciting. And, you know, I'm definitely feeling the buzz of the All-Star game. My eyes have really been on my trip to Boston here and, you know, thinking about next year's All-Star game, because I know I want to be out there in Philadelphia, as I was at the All-Star game in 1996 in Philadelphia as a kid. So I'm thinking about that and Atlanta. It's like 45 minutes north of the city, the humidity, but I don't have to be there. And now I'm just thinking about the All-Star game. I'm getting really amped up. Like 2 weeks, okay. Like I'm really excited for this. This is going to be really good. We've got the starters have been voted on. Cal Raleigh, first Mariners catcher to ever start an All-Star game at first base for the American League. You got Vlad Guerrero Jr., fourth time starting the All-Star game at second base. Gleyber Torres, A's Jacob Wilson, first time an A's shortstop has started the All-Star game since Bert Campanaris did it from 73 to 75. Love that he beat up Bobby Witt Jr. I'm a big Bobby baseball fan. So props to Jacob Wilson for doing that. At Grand Canyon University, not a major baseball school. I think it is one now on the come up in that Phoenix area, but good for him. Third base, Jose Ramirez, fourth time as a starter. DH is going to be Ryan O'Hearn. The Rafi Devers trade opened the door up for him to get a spot. Not bad for a guy that was once designated for assignment and was considered a failed prospect by the Royals. Aaron Judge, who had the most votes, his seventh start on the American League squad in the All-Star game. Notice through these first seven players.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
That I have gone through, I have not repeated a team once. Seven different teams so far in the nine positions in the American League. I like that. I like that kind of parity where everyone gets a chance and then it doesn't, and it's not so much about one team. That being said, the other two outfielders are Riley Green and Javi Baez. So yeah, we have three players from Detroit. They've earned it. They are the best team in the American League, best team in the game right now. Record-wise, sure, but good for them. And they're probably going to get the starting pitcher in Tarik Skubal. Probably. So, okay, it's going to all be about Detroit. But after that, a lot of different colors. And remember, the colors are coming back. Teams are not wearing dumb All-Star game uniforms in the game. They are wearing their team uniform in the game. So I'm very, very happy about that. In the chat, does the ball fly in Atlanta's newer stadium like it did in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium? I don't know. I'm not sure that it does. Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, the ball certainly did fly. And that's what they called it, the launching pad. And one of the reasons why it got that nickname of the launching pad was at the time, before 93, Atlanta had the highest elevation of any ballpark. And it was, I think, under 2,000 feet. But that's crazy when everybody else is at like 100 feet above sea level. So we should see a good derby as we always do. And how about Javier Baez? Third time starting the All-Star game. Now in both leagues, that's kind of rare. And he does it at three different positions. At second base in 2018 with the Cubs, at shortstop in 2019, and now as an outfielder, he's actually the first player to start All-Star games, both in the outfield and at shortstop in his career. Good for him. I like the renaissance for Javi Baez. In the National League, at catcher, it is not Hunter Goodman, who was not even a finalist in phase two. It's Will Smith, who's a first-time starter. I believe last year was his first time even making the All-Star team. It felt like He just kind of hadn't gotten his just desserts for a while, but now everybody knows him. He got his bag. He got his 10-year extension, so he's all right. Also from the Dodgers at first base, Freddie Freeman, his fifth time starting. And then you got some variety around the infield. Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks, third time starting. Shortstop, Francisco Lindor of the Mets. I knew that he hadn't started the All-Star game in his first 4 years, or rather, he hadn't made the All-Star team in the NL his first 4 years with the Mets, 21 through 24. I didn't realize he had never started the All-Star game those 4 years he was an All-Star in the American League with Cleveland, 2016 to 2019. Just learned that. Padres, Manny Machado, his fourth start in the NL over at third base. So we got some variety there. DH is Otani, his fifth time starting, although technically shouldn't it be his sixth time starting because he also started in 2021 as the starting pitcher. So can we give him two starts for that? I'll let me know what you think in the comments there. In the outfield, Ronald Acuña Jr. for Atlanta, his fifth start already. Wow. And then two Cubbies, Pete Armstrong and Kyle Tucker. Acuña Jr. probably... controversial is not the right word, but the one that people have the most hot takes about because he'd only played 35 games so far this year, playing great, 199 OPS plus, OPS above 1,000, batting 350, but it's only 35 games. I'm okay with that. The All-Star game is about the game's best. It doesn't necessarily have to be the game's best right now. If you got that name brand recognition and you're playing great, you should be there, period. We'll find out exactly who is the Rockies representative. Hunter Goodman, right? It's going to be Hunter Goodman. 99% certain. Sunday, we'll find out officially the All-Star game roster at 3 p.m. on ESPN. So during the Rockies game. So if you want to see the Rockies All-Star, it's going to be Hunter Goodman. Probably. Definitely 99%. If you want to see Hunter Goodman talking about becoming an All-Star, you know full well either Sully or Spilly is going to be there in the locker room talking with probably Hunter Goodman after the game on Sunday. So make sure you're tuned in to that one. Goodman's got 16 home runs, most by a Rockies catcher prior to the All-Star break in franchise history. He can hit at least one more at some point to get to 17. That'll be the most home runs before the All-Star break since CJ Cron had 21 at the 2022 All-Star break. And yeah, he was also an All-Star that year as well. Crazy to think that the Rockies are probably going to have their second catcher in 3 years make the All-Star team after it had never happened and we thought it never would happen. Pretty wild to see that. I've got some other 4th of July notes, but it's time for me to get out of here. Happy birthday to Goose Gossage, born July 5th, 1951 in Colorado Springs. He would save 310 games in his career, made the All-Star team 9 times, won a World Series with the Yankees in 78, was also on the 84 Padres that lost. He earned election to the Hall of Fame in 2008, one of only two Colorado-born players in the Hall of Fame, along with Roy Halladay. So pretty cool stuff. Thank you to everybody in the chat for joining. Appreciate you. Go over to the social media to get a little bit more on the Rockies, on the Rockies Insider, either at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, or the Rockies Insider channel over on YouTube. Appreciate everybody in the chat. Love the momentum you've provided me. That momentum is going to take me to Boston, in fact. So it's not just as good as my next show. It's as good as my connecting flight to Baltimore to get me to Boston. So thank you for that. Appreciate your momentum. It's only as good as my next show, unfortunately. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.